Good morning. How you doing? Are you well? It is so good to be with you this morning, and it's a privilege to bring the Word of God. And I woke up this morning and obviously came to church, and worship was just, wasn't it just incredible? Just lifting all glory to Jesus. And I came across this quote this morning that I thought, do you know what, that's incredible. And it's this: singing to God isn't a nice emotional trip to spice up a worship service. It's an attack against sin and Satan. And my prayer this morning is, whether you're in the mountaintops or the valley tops, and you've got nothing to give, or you're in a great place, is that our voices do not go quiet, because it's our voice, and with Jesus behind us, that defeats the works of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. And in church life, isn't that cool? I tell you what, Pete Charlesworth could be a stand-up comic, couldn't he? I would pay to watch that man. I love it. I love church life. It's always great fun, always great to hear what's going on in life of church. So this morning, I get the joy to carry on our theme of going deeper. And I think it was 3 weeks ago, Matt White kicked us off with a beautiful message of how Jesus made a beeline for Zacchaeus and how that transformed everything. Pete, a couple of weeks ago, spoke about to go deeper with God, we need to relinquish control. That was a brilliant message. And then Nikki last week spoke about extending our love lines. So we've had some really brilliant messages that show us how to go deeper with God. This morning, I want to offer us an unusual invitation as we go deeper with God. And my message title is An Invitation to the Desert. In an ever-demanding world of busyness, of noise, how do we make time to go deeper with God? This morning, I want to suggest that if we take God's invite and join him in the desert, with all that's going on around us, but spend that time with God, that our relationships will go deeper and further, and he will do way more than we could ever imagine in our lives. Throughout Scripture, we see God use the desert place as a place of reconnection, of going deeper with him. And so this morning, I want to look at how we can go deeper with God in the desert. I want to look at what might distract us and stop us from going deeper with God, and look at how we can crush those idols that may be in our life and have a life that's submitted to going deeper with God. Before I start, I'm going to pray. Papa, thank you that you would give us what was most precious to you. Thank you that you would give us Jesus, the Savior and hope of the world. And God, I thank you that you would give us that gift of Jesus. Lord, with all the mess that we're seeing around the world, God, I thank you that in you there is hope and there is comfort. And Lord, I pray this morning, wherever we may be as we walk into church today, that we would leave here having experienced more depth and closeness and intimacy with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was in year 11, I had a really cool drama teacher. And me and the creative arts aren't really a good match. I know, right? It was never really my thing. But the cool thing about the drama lesson was that this teacher, she was kind of like really chilled. And so, and I don't know if you ever had this, but we had double drama. So like 2 hours of drama. And I tell you what, on a Thursday afternoon, that was a godsend at school. Because it just meant after lunch, me and my mates could just get together and have a chat and hang out. And the teacher would always say to us, listen, as long as you all behave, I'll give you a structure, but the 2 hours is yours. And so me and my mates, for a couple of hours, we'll probably talk about what we're going to do on Friday night, what shandies we were going to have over the park. And but then, with about 20 minutes to go, she'd always say, right, now I want you to show me what you've done over the last... And this is where I became amazing at improvisation. And this is where me and my mates just put together these Oscar-winning performances that were just, they were brilliant. And we would like crack up whilst we were delivering them. And you know what, it was good fun. I didn't pass drama. But I tell you what, for a year it was awesome to hang out with my mates and have 2 hours of just chilling. But I say that is I want to take you on a journey. So one of the things that our drama teacher would do before she would start the lesson, she would say, I want you to close your eyes and imagine. And we would get taken off somewhere and perform a drama performance around that thought. But this morning, I want you to imagine something for me. And this is what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine you're walking alone in the desert, and before you is this huge mountain. And the thing is, as you start to walk this mountain, the ground beneath you is shaking. And as you go higher and higher, the mountain becomes covered in clouds. There is thunder, there is lightning. And every time you speak out to God, God responds in thunder and lightning and fire. And as I was reading that from Exodus 19, what Moses experienced, I was blown away. Because what it got me to do was imagine or go back to what was my last time in the presence of God like? Because it wasn't thunder, there wasn't lightning, and if I'm honest, even this week, my prayer life at times has been maybe out of obligation, maybe out of a sense of I need to do this, but not the awe and wonder that Moses encountered as he went up that mountaintop. Were you distracted when you came before God this week or this morning or whenever it was? Because there's always something wanting our time to rob us of that intimacy with God. As Moses, can you imagine what it had been like as he ascended that mountain? I can't imagine for one minute he was bored. I can't imagine he was kind of going up half-heartedly. But every step that he took as the ground shook and as the Father of Light spoke, there would have just been this encounter of awe and wonder, but a sense of, wow, what must have Moses' relationship with God have been like to have just even been in that situation? What an incredible experience. But what I truly love and gives me true hope with the scripture is Exodus 33:11, and it says Moses had a relationship where he would speak to God as if it was face to face. I read that and I was just like, how amazing to be able to have such a deepness with God that it would look like as if I'm talking to FA now, that face to face, that closeness with God. And the question that I had is, do I marvel that God permits me, this fallen sinner with his own baggage and with you, this opportunity to have a relationship with God? He permits imperfect human beings to come into his presence, and that is open to us. And it blows me away that the creator of the universe would extend that invite to us. John Piper says something really cool. He says, if prayer or connection doesn't come easy for you, consider yourself normally fallen and sinful with the rest of us, then fight. How did the shock in these deep, intimate encounters that we read about in the scriptures, that we read over time and time again, become ordinary and mundane to us? I know that there have been times when I read scripture and I see it and I read it and I think, oh, that's cool. But I leave it there. These are phenomenal experiences that I know that as we go deeper with God, he will do his own stuff through us. And I want to be someone and I want us to be people that just know that we can come before the Father, warts and all, and know that we are not rejected and that that open invitation to deepness is open to each one of us. Do you know, there are people in the Bible that I am just in awe and wonder of, people that have these experiences. You know, we've spoken briefly about Moses and his encounter up the mountain, but there is this awesome psalm where David, like, we know the psalms, he's in his highs and his lows, and he's having all of these highs and lows with God. But there's one beautiful bit of scripture that comes out of Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold his beauty of his holiness. His greatest desire, there was no wish lists, no to-do lists, but his desire was to just dwell in the presence of God. Do you know, as I was having, as I was preparing this message, I think I was having a bit of a laugh or a joke with God, because I was like, God, I could end this message right here, because surely that needs to be all our heart's desires, is to just dwell in his presence. But the worry I had was I'd be 6 minutes into my message and then I'd be worried about what we would do for the next day. So forgive me, I bottled it. But I hope that what God's given me will sustain us for the next 20 minutes. So there's Moses, there's David. Then there is this one scripture in Genesis, which again is just unbelievable. There's this guy called Enoch. And scripture just says he hung out with God, but God just took him. He didn't experience death. He just went to be with God. What is it about these people that gain such favor with God that you can be walking with God one moment and then the next moment he just takes you away? My heart, and it will be a lifelong journey, is I want a deepness with God. I want you to have a deepness with God. A relationship that just, when people hang out with you, that they know that you've been in the presence of God. That they know that you've spent time going deeper, going further with him, and experiencing all that God has for us. But this is the thing. These are great stories, right? Great accounts. But I don't want to live off other people's glories. And I don't want you to live off other people's glories. These encourage me and they inspire me. But towards the end of my life, I want to have stories of where God did incredible stuff and God has done incredible stuff. But I want God to keep doing great stuff, great stuff, great stuff, where he is glorified, where there is testimony after testimony of his goodness and a deepness that knows that there was intimacy and a relationship between him and I. So maybe this whole process of going deep with God takes place and starts in the desert. I want to suggest that those heroes that we hear about in the Bible, great stories, their stories started in the desert as well. We see with David, he spent time in the desert preparing for what was to come when he had Goliath and all that sort of stuff. God took him to the desert to prepare him. Moses, we read about time and time. He spent that time in the desert waiting for the promised land, but also when he was in exile, he was in the desert. God moving in him, God speaking to him. There was no distractions around them, but they had this encounter where God met them. The Bible tells us that the desert is a dangerous place. Matthew 12:43 says, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. A place where there's no water, food or shelter, but the blazing heat of the day. Everything about the desert screams danger. So why would God want to take you into a place of danger? Why would we even want to go into a place of danger? But this is the cool thing about God, is that Deuteronomy chapter 8 also says that the desert is a place of provision, it's a place of closeness, and it's a place where God speaks. As I've been thinking about this message and the desert place, it's really exposed some stuff inside of me that I'm like, God, we need to deal with this. I want the idols that I've put in my life that have come before you, I want them to crack under the scorching sun and the heat of the sand to dissolve those idols, so that once those idols are dealt with, it's just me and Jesus, me and the Father. I don't want those idols to stop me from going deeper with God. Now, we all have stuff in us that I think we can internally admit, what is it that holds us back from God? I know one of the things that is a biggie for me that I'm going to talk about in a little bit is social media. my mobile phone, noise, all of these distractions. But all of these things I want to take to the desert where they are dealt with. A desert is where we can remove the idols, strip back, and not be distracted by outside noise, but enter a place to go closer and deeper. So what is it that prevents us going deep with God? We are self-obsessed. It is estimated that in 2019, there is 2.77 billion users of social media. Users around the globe, it's gone up dramatically from 2017. Social network is a big thing, and it's something that can distract us. And listen, with all of these things I'm going to talk about, I think there is time and there is place, so I'm not here to say, get rid of them all, never use them again. But when stuff starts to consume us and distract us from deepness with God, then we need to deal with it. My phone, it allows me to see how much I use Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp. Do you know what? Before the service started, I had a message come up on my phone to tell me that I'd spent 5 hours and 11 minutes on my phone last week. And when you break that down, you think, 5 hours? That's nearly a work day. I'm not looking at my senior pastor, he's my boss. But stuff tries to consume us. You know, you look at, okay, one of the good things about Instagram is I can get a filter on that gets rid of my grey hair. So it's got its perks. You've got Facebook, where I can find out what you had for dinner last night. Twitter, you can tweet what's going on in the world. All of this stuff that would want to take us away from intimacy with God. On my phone, I have 2,207 photos. I have 358 videos. It is just a huge amount of stuff that actually just doesn't need to be there. This was the thing that really got me, though, was have I exchanged my divineness with God for social media? When I was putting this message together, this is the thing. If you need help with a message, ask Alexa. Like, go to Google or check out YouTube or check out all of these speakers that give brilliant messages. And I know that in the past, I've crept towards that, possibly out of, you know, it's there, use it, it's brilliant. But as I was putting this message together, I was like, oh, do you know what? I don't want to miss that encounter with God. You know, to get on my knees and just say, God, I need your intervention here. I don't want to go to Google and get my message or find out all of these random things. I want a one-to-one with the Father of Lights. I want that for each one of us. Like, my heart is that we know that God is for us and that God loves us. But I think as well, it's a two-way thing. God is always there. But so often I put obstacles in my way that prevents this deepness. And I know that social media for me is one of those. When you're in the desert, there's no selfies, right? Maybe for a couple of hours before your phone dies. But it's a place where all of that stuff can run out of battery, can run out of what it is, and be that place of you and the Father. A place where, when all of those idols are dealt with, our full attention is with the Father. Maybe we need to focus less on what the world demands and wants, and the updates it wants, or the pictures that it wants, and say, no. Today, I'm spending time in the desert, waiting for that idol to be dissolved, and to spend time with the Father. So, maybe we struggle with self-obsession and wanting to go deep with God. The other thing that's really challenged me is lovers of noise and busyness is another idol that's been in my life that I have been wrestling with. According to Harvard Business Review, studies have shown that taking time for silence restores the nervous system, helps sustain energy, and conditions our minds to be more adaptive and responsive to the complex environments in which so many of us know, live, work, and lead. We have filled our lives with noise and busyness. And I tell you what, it really annoys me. I did this last week. How often has someone said, "How's your week been?" "I'm busy." Like as if it's a badge of honor. Like, busyness. If you're too busy all the time, then you need to cut something out. And this is what I have been wrestling with. Like, am I really too busy for hanging out with God? Am I really too busy to spend time in my word? Am I really too busy to just have silence with the Father? It made me realize how much I suck. It's the truth, because I know time and time again, I've put these things in place that have prevented that intimacy, that closeness, and that deepness with God. Silence is a good thing, but we need to cut something out if it is preventing us from those times with God. There is this beautiful quote, a guy called Christopher Jameson. He is an abbot in a monastery in Sussex. And he comes up with this beautiful quote. He says, "Silence is the gateway to the soul, and the soul is the pathway to God." It's been a morning of quotes for me because I came across this other quote this morning. "Does anything matter more in our hurried, noisy, contemporary life than that every Christian should find time daily of real quiet for the soul, waiting upon God?" The Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, 1962. There is something about silence that brings about connection with God. When I was a kid, we used to go to this place called Buckfast Abbey every year when I was growing up. Buckfast Abbey is this amazing monastery, and it was one of those things that, you know, as a kid you get dragged to. And I remember entering this building, and firstly there was the awe and the wonder of the silence, but very quickly I was really uncomfortable with it, so much so that I just couldn't stand being in a place where there was just such silence. But I first fast forward 20 years, and you know, I've got 3 kids. And any moment of silence is truly beautiful, as much as I love them. But there is something about silence that brings about this connection with God. We allow so much white noise into our lives, don't we? And I wonder if noise... are we uncomfortable with what God might say to us? So we fill it with noise. It's what I do. It's what I've done. And I think initially there is this uncomfortableness, isn't there, with silence? Because I know that when I've tried it, you keep your eyes closed. But then after 30 seconds, you open one eye and you see what's going on around you, or... all of these distractions that would want to prevent that silence with God. But when we truly grasp the silence, God speaks. And I want us to be people that are able to deal with the noise that would want to come against us and to let it have its place, because we need noise around us. But we need more that silence and that time with the Father. Jesus is cool, right? I'm blown away all the time when I think about him. All of these things that he would do for us, the love that he poured out for us. And I think the thing that I've really wrestled with dealing with this message is I know that there are these idols. And I know I've touched on a few, but what are the idols in your life this morning that at the end of this service that we can pray over, we can break down, that we can start afresh, but leave here with those idols dealt with? You know, I could go on about loads of other stuff, right? Box sets. I tell you what, The West Wing. Anyone watch The West Wing? The greatest bit of TV ever made, right? All of these Designated Survivor. Anyone watch that one? All day. I know. These are, I'm not really usually a fan of American box sets, but those two, I tell you, I think I watched The West Wing probably within a couple of weeks, and that's a fair chunk. And Designated Survivor, seriously, I'd get home from work, sort the kids out, dinner, Designated Survivor was going straight on. And this is the thing, like I said, like, we need to unwind. We need to have time to ourselves, time with our family, our friends, all that sort of stuff. It's good stuff. So please don't hear anything in this that I'm saying you can't do any of this. It's not. They're just some suggestions that we need to get priorities right to be able to go deeper with the Father. What do we find out about the desert for those guys in the Bible? Moses, David. It was a time of replenishment. An opportunity to fall in love with the Father. An opportunity to deal with the stuff in our lives ready for what God has next for us. And you know what, more than anything, my hope and prayer this morning for you and for us as we have some time to pray is that we would deal with what we need to, but that we would go deeper and further with the Father as we leave today, as we go about what it is that we're our day looks like, that we would make that time because he is worthy of that time. There is this awesome bit of scripture, Jeremiah 33. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know. And I wonder if we cut out the noise, if we cut out the busyness, if we cut out the distractions, and make that time for silence, for intimacy. What is it that God might say to us? Because I think anything that comes from the Father is good stuff, great stuff, inspiring stuff. And I don't want us to miss our appointments or our time with God because we've got all of these distractions wanting to rob us. So my prayer as we wrap up is firstly that you would know how loved and precious you are. That Jesus is for you and with you and alongside you. But as we make that time in the silence, or whatever works for you, is that our relationship with the Father would go deeper and deeper, and that we would know we would have met with our Father and Creator. So may I suggest that we turn the noise off, that as we finish, that we'll have a couple of minutes of just silence. And we'll start the process of building that silence into a time of worship and being in his presence and seeing what he would say to us. But also, this morning, as we've spoken about idols, if there is any, we've got a prayer team that would love to pray with you, to stand with you. And if there's anything else you need prayer for, come and join us. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, let me tell you, Jesus, hope of the world. For you, wants you, loves you. We've got people who would love to chat with you if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, the best decision you'll ever make. But why don't we just have silence for a couple of minutes and just share our heart with God and see what he may say back. Jesus, may we accept the call into the desert. May we come and join you and have that time of intimacy, solace, silence, restoration. God, whatever may be in our lives that prevents that or stops us, God, I pray that they would be removed and dealt with. We want you to be the number one in our lives. We want to make you our priority. We love you. We thank you for the price that you paid for us. God, in the silence, may you speak. In the silence, may we go deeper with you. And Lord, for each one in this room, for each one of our kids out worshiping you, God, I pray that we would leave here deeper in relationship with you. All praise and all glory and all honor belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.